Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, and this is the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, December the 19th, 2012. We are live noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice. It is the home of the Buckmaster Show, and we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we post the program, making it very easy for you every day. Well, every day that we're on the air, Monday through Friday, we post by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon to three websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. And we now have homepage links on the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, their websites, gvnews.com, and the friends at Blog for Arizona have put us prominently displayed on their homepage, and they are at blogforarizona.com. Coming up in the noon hour today, this midweek edition, we will talk with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes, Executive Director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. 30 minutes past the hour, our quarterly water journal with David Modier. David is the General Manager of the Central Arizona Project. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks, our expert on education. We'll be talking about violence in the classroom and what we can do to avoid it and to protect our young students. If you have a comment or question for any of today's guests, please call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show, our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She is the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, and she's also a professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. She has been facilitating the growth of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. It's always a delight to have her with us. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
It's good to have you. Have you done all your Christmas shopping?
I have. I actually did a lot of online things, which makes it easier, doesn't it?
It really does. And you have been busy as usual. You've been traveling. You had a trip to Cuba with some of your colleagues from the Center for Integrative Medicine. There was also this report, and I've been wanting to talk about it for the last couple of months, and we kind of ran out of time, but this was from the Institute of Medicine talking about America's healthcare system. And the conclusion, I guess, the bottom line from the report is that the system has just become too complex and costly to continue as business as usual.
Yes. Actually, the Institute of Medicine, which is a widely, very highly regarded group, said that about 30% of healthcare spending in 2009, $750 billion with a B, was wasted. And it was wasted because of unnecessary services, because of excess administrative costs, and because of fraud and other problems. And also, besides the wasted money, they estimated that 75,000 deaths might have been averted if people were really practicing at the highest level of quality.
Are things going to change with the new? Apparently, a lot of these numbers were from a few years back, but I mean, how does it look going forward with the changes with that President Obama has put forward?
Well, I do hope that things will change. Certainly, the Health Care Reform Act, which will bring us to near universal access, is going to solve some of the problems. People coming into care at very late stages of disease because they weren't able to afford to see a doctor at earlier stages when things might have been prevented or treated at a more manageable time. The fact that insurance companies can't exclude people because they have pre-existing conditions, that's a really important reform. They can't refuse to renew coverage for people. So I think having people have access to health insurance is one part of the solution. There are other needed parts.
The healthcare costs, Dr. Mazes, have increased, according to the report, at a greater rate than the economy as a whole for 31 of the past 40 years. And the report pointed out that most of the payment systems that are being used in the healthcare industry emphasize volume over quality.
Yes, and that's a huge issue. There's a movie that came out recently. It actually featured in part Dr. Weil and our fellowship in integrative medicine. It's called Escape Fire, and you can see it in movie theaters or you could download it on iTunes and watch it. But one of the people who spoke up in that movie was Donald Berwick, who had been the director of Medicare services for a while, and he also is the leader of a quality institute. And indeed, we have the healthcare system that we pay for. You know, the incentives lead for people to do a lot of care, a lot of procedures, but not necessarily to provide high quality care. And as we move towards paying based on outcomes and based on values, we will likely see a shift in our healthcare system.
As I mentioned at the top, that you have returned from Cuba. You were with over a dozen colleagues from the Center for Integrative Medicine. How was that trip?
It was a fascinating trip, and I actually think that there's much that we can learn from the Cuban healthcare system that we in the United States might want to emulate. First of all, in terms of spending, they spend about a 20th of what we spend, and yet their rates of infant mortality, 8 per 1,000 children, are amongst the lowest in the world and the lowest in Latin America. Their life expectancy is equivalent to ours, and that's spending 1/20. Now, why is that? Well, first of all, they provide universal health access to health care. They consider health care a right. They also provide universal education, and they have some of the best educated population maybe around the globe, but they incorporate natural and traditional medicine, which is something that I was really interested to see. And they prioritize prevention. So their public health and their primary care are integrally linked.
Talk a little bit about the natural medicine, because I know that was an area that you and your colleagues probably wanted to hear about and wanted to see. How are they doing that? How are they incorporating? How are they integrating it?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. They didn't start out there. What happened was in the early 90s, when the Soviet bloc collapsed, they went through a very, very difficult time. They use a euphemistic phrase. They call it their special period. There was famine. There was 90% of the oil imports were cut off, so transportation was really difficult. They were cut off from pesticides, so growing food for the country was difficult. But as a result of these difficulties, they turned to many innovative practices, one of which was they made it a priority to use natural and traditional medicine whenever possible. And they began to train all of their doctors in natural and traditional medicine. So all doctors learn about acupuncture, they learn herbal medicine, they learn nutrition. And that means that the familiarity is there. Also, all of these services are available for free as part of the universal healthcare system.
How are their operating room conditions and the hospitals? I'm sure you took a look at those.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that the physical infrastructure is pretty dilapidated, and one could even use the word depressing to see the physical spaces, and that certainly could use a facelift. Having said that, every community has a doctor, nurse, team who live in the neighborhood and therefore really know the patients they take care of. That doctor nurse team is responsible for segmenting their particular group of people into four categories. Either they're healthy, they have some risk factors, they have chronic disease, or they have something where they're seriously ill. And depending on which category they fit into, for example, healthy patients they have to see once a year. People with risk factors they see twice a year, and more often, obviously, for people who have more serious illness. In the morning they're in their clinic, in the afternoon they do home visits. So they really, really know their patients, and they're actually able to provide a level of care that in many ways is better than what we provide.
We're talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes. She's the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She and some colleagues have just returned from a fact-finding trip to Cuba. We've been talking about healthcare costs in this country. Let's talk about holiday stress, and why don't we do that after we take a break right here and hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors. We ask that you please support these people. They believe in what we do, and we would be very thankful for their support from you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the program comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Once a month, and we are delighted she does so, Dr. Victoria Mazes stops by the Buckmaster Show and we talk health. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, and that is the center that was started by the famed Dr. Andrew Weil. Dr. Mazes, everybody seems to get so stressed out this time of year. We all find, I guess, different ways to handle it. How about you?
Well, I have a bunch of different things that I do for my own personal practices. I exercise every day, and that's definitely a stress reliever for me. I love to walk outside in nature. I make it a point to get to Sabino Canyon for a long hike at least once a week. I go to yoga once or twice a week. I find that an incredibly centering practice. I'm lucky enough to have a labyrinth on the land that I live on, so I can walk the labyrinth. I have a meditation and breathing practice that I do. So I really try to follow the things that I recommend to my patients. How about you?
Well, I tell you, I try to walk at least 20 minutes every day, 20 to 30 minutes a day, just to kind of clear the cobwebs out and kind of de-stress. And it's interesting, I was mentioning Dr. Weil on his website right now, and it's one of the most popular websites around, Ask Dr. Weil. He talks about the benefits of walking. Even if you could do walking three times a week for 30 minutes, it would have great benefits for you.
Absolutely. I think that walking is something that, you know, we all can develop as a practice. It's free. Even those people who have, you know, some health issues can usually use walking. If you have serious health issues, arthritis or bad heart disease, you may need to check with your doctor first. But most other people can begin slowly. Even a few minutes often leads to that sense of greater peacefulness, but then to really build up to 20 to 30 minutes and do it regularly. The regularity of it is also quite important in terms of its stress relieving function.
All sorts of talk about holiday depression. I think whether it's full blown depression, it may just be kind of maybe the holiday blues would be a better way to put it, that we have so many expectations for the way the holiday is supposed to be, at least that's the way it's portrayed in the media, that sometimes it falls short.
I think that's true. I think for a lot of people, the holidays, as families come back together, are actually particularly stressful times. You know, one sees images in the media that these perfect families where everybody is loving and gets along, and not everyone comes from a perfect family like that.
No, that's for sure.
So I always say, you know, during stressful times, sometimes people drop their practices, whether it's walking or running or meditating or swimming or having a regular meditation practice. They drop that off because they're too busy. And if anything, you almost want to double it during stressful times. You want to do more of it. You want to amp it up because you know you're going to need that buffer. You're going to need that extra help.
And we all overeat. I think that's probably, maybe not all of us, but most of us do during the holiday season. It is very difficult. If you like baked goods and you like cookies and things like that, it can be kind of difficult to resist that.
So I remember
Thank you, Rose, for bringing in a dozen or so cookies for my birthday last week or Sunday. And of course, I'm trying to eat only, as we've talked about, maybe a half a cookie a day.
So one way is to limit the amount. But I think the other thing is often we eat on the run, and we're not even aware of the taste of the food, the texture of the food, the flavor. And so there's a practice of eating mindfully. And in some ways, it was popularized by someone named Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is the person who brought mindfulness-based stress reduction to the U.S. En masse. And he has people do an exercise with a raisin. And you begin with one single raisin. You hold it in the palm of your hand. You really notice its grooves, its wrinkles, its just general appearance. You very gradually bring it up to your mouth. You don't chew yet. You just sort of move it around in your mouth. You notice its texture. You notice its shape, its form. You notice the way you start to salivate in anticipation of chewing that raisin, and then really, really gradually, as if it's the first time you've ever tasted a raisin in your whole life, you begin to chew and you notice that burst of flavor. You notice maybe you don't even like raisins or you love raisins, whatever it may be, and you chew it very, very slowly. You notice when the impulse to swallow comes in and you don't respond to it right away. And again, slowly you then swallow that raisin and notice how you feel having eaten a raisin fully, mindfully. Imagine if each bite of cookie you ate in that way.
Well, you could do the same with, I love fresh fruit. You could do that with...
Absolutely.
One of my friends sent me some of those delicious pears from Oregon. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Harry and David pears are just so luscious. Had one of them this morning and probably ate it too fast, but maybe I should have taken like an hour to eat it slowly.
Absolutely. Eating more slowly is often one part of eating mindfully. For some people, it's slicing it up on a plate as opposed to, you know, sort of just chomping on it. So there might be different strategies for different people, but I think especially when you're eating those things that are really rich in calories, you know, to sit down and take the time to fully savor them so that you're appreciating it as you're eating it. And I think that often does lead to people eating a bit less of it.
Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. She's the executive director of the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. You had some nice publicity in the Phoenix paper, the Arizona Republic, about the Center for Integrative Medicine opening the clinic this fall up in Phoenix.
Yes, we're so excited about this new integrative health center that we've been able to open. It's a collaboration between the College of Medicine, between District Medical Group, which is the health plan, and Maricopa County. They're sending their employees who wish to have integrative care. It's obviously an option for them. I think that if you're considering a New Year's resolution where you really want to get healthier, where you're motivated to be exercising differently, eating differently, managing your stress differently, this new integrative health center could be a wonderful partner for you. Not only are there physicians on staff, there is a health coach, a nutritionist, a mind-body specialist, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, and there are both long visits with all of these staff members, but there's also educational group visits. And so it's something that I think could really help people as they try to reduce that burden of chronic illness. That's another reason that our healthcare costs so much in this country.
I know one of your goals and Dr. Weil's goal is to have a center like that, a integrative medicine clinic here in Tucson.
We are very eager to open a similar integrative health center in Tucson. And so we'd love to have the community support this concept. And the dean of the College of Medicine is supportive. We have a new leader beginning in February for the UA Health Network. And as soon as that person's on board, we hope to go and meet and begin the process to open this.
Do some lobbying to
absolutely
get that open here in Tucson, because it is something that would really help our community. And of course, the effort continues. You have worked so hard developing national national models for educating primary care physicians, and it really has paid off because these physicians who have gone through your program now are really scattered all over the country and in many parts of the world. I think 18 countries or something like that.
Absolutely. They are indeed all over the world providing care, and we're happy to be part of the solution for the healthcare crisis that our country faces.
Dr. Victoria Mazes, want to wish you the very best of the holiday season. Have a great holiday. Don't get too stressed out. Sounds like you've got that part of your life very much under control. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk with you in January.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you and to all of your listeners. A happy and healthy new year.
Thank you.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. In the wake of the Connecticut school shooting, President Obama has tasked his administration with coming up with ideas for stemming gun-related violence. Vice President Biden will lead the effort to find recommendations by a January deadline. Several State Department officials have quit under pressure, the resignations coming a day after a report blamed management failures for a lack of security at the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya. The U.S. soldier accused of massacring 16 Afghan villagers could face a death sentence. The U.S. Army says it will seek the punishment for Staff Sergeant Robert Bales. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 39 points at 13,312. The NASDAQ off 4, the S&P 6 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end
publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new landscape evolution observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Welcome back to the Midweek Edition at 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. And once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on one of Arizona's most important, if not the most important resource, and that is water. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is David Modier. David is the former head of Tucson Water. He is now the general manager of the Central Arizona Project based in Phoenix. David, how are you?
I am doing fine, Bill. How is it going down there in Tucson today?
It's going very well here in Tucson. We finally had some rain. Now a couple of storms have come through, but as you know, it has been bone dry here in Arizona. We were up in Santa Fe in New Mexico for Thanksgiving. I've never seen it drier up in northern New Mexico. We are still in the midst of this big-time drought.
David, Bill, that's correct.
Yeah, and
I think it's that way throughout. It has been up until this point throughout the West.
It really is, and you know, you have been in the news, and this news about this federal study on the Colorado River has been front page news in both the Tucson paper and the Arizona Daily Star and the Arizona Republic. This, I guess, was a 3-year in the making report on the Colorado River Basin water supply and demand study. When all is said and done, David, did we learn anything from this report?
Well, I think we learned quite a bit from the report. I think it confirmed some of the things that we were pretty much aware of all along, that there was a gap between the demands on the Colorado River and the amount of annual runoff that would be in the Colorado River. It exists today. And I think the study confirms that mismatch between the need to use the water and the amount of water that is available is only going to grow in the future.
The Colorado River, we've talked about it with you, and we've talked about it really for years, that we are vulnerable to future shortages due to the potential for the increasing demands and the impacts of, as this prolonged drought and climate change continues. What was the bottom line as far as expecting a shortfall in supplies, David?
I think the bottom line, Bill, was pretty much a call to action for all of us in the Colorado River Basin, all 7 states, and all stakeholders that have a concern and a need to have a sustainable supply of water from the Colorado. I think it raised the flag and said we need to start planning and taking action now in order to ensure that we will still be able to have a vibrant economy and a vibrant environment well into the future. And I think that's the most important thing that came out of the study, is it brought everyone together. It painted a very clear picture of what the future is likely to be, and that we need now to start taking concrete steps in order to avert what would be a disaster both for our environment and for our economies if we don't take any action.
Mexico and the United States recently signed an agreement regarding the Colorado River. How does that impact Arizona and specifically you and your colleagues at the CAP?
It has a great impact on us, Bill. As you know, we were just talking about the potential for having a shortage on the river due to the drought and other circumstances on it. And within the treaty that the United States had executed with Mexico in 1944 was the requirement that the Mexico would share in any shortage, drastic shortage driven by climatic changes. However, it never defined how Mexico would participate with the United States in sharing in those shortages that are expected to happen along the Colorado. Since we, in 2007, we, Arizona and the other basin states, particularly the lower basin states, agreed on a methodology to share those shortages, and Arizona being the most vulnerable, being that we have the lowest priority, it was important to get an understanding from Mexico that they would also share in that shortage, since they get a 1.5 million acre foot annually from the Colorado delivered to Mexico. It was historic. We've been negotiating this for years with Mexico, and finally Mexico agreed to participate in shortage sharing at the same conditions that we in Arizona will take with regards to a shortage. So now we have some certainty, and it also provided a great deal of working together in partnerships to increase the availability of water and to minimize the potential for shortages on the river. And it's the first time that Mexico and the United States have never been able to work cooperatively with an agreement to solve some of the water issues that exist on the border.
Yeah, and a lot of this goes back to 1944, as you know, David, the International Water Treaty between U.S. and Mexico, and this is probably the most positive thing that's come out of that treaty since then, isn't it?
It is. It shows that we can work together, that we exist on the same river, we have the same issues amongst Mexico and the United States. We know what the issues are going forward long term. We just spoke about those from the basin study. And now we know that we have a framework in which we can work cooperatively together with Mexico and the United States to begin to address some of these long-term systemic problems that exist in the Colorado River Basin.
You're listening to the Arizona Water Quarterly. David Modier is with us. David is the general manager of the Central Arizona Project based in Phoenix. Getting back to the current situation, I started this interview by saying how dry things have been here in Arizona and over in New Mexico. But as far as the Colorado River and in terms of flow next year, let's talk about how the forecast looks for the winter season.
Well, we started off pretty slow. Didn't get much precipitation in the fall up in the Colorado River Basin, particularly in the higher elevations in Colorado, and was beginning to look a little bleak. Although NOAA, which does a lot of the forecasting on climatic conditions, still was maintaining a forecast that this should be at or near a normal year for this coming water year. This week has been good. We've got some snow in Colorado. We've got some rain in Arizona and up and down the Colorado River Basin. Hopefully, this kind of trend where we've had a couple of storms in Arizona and the same in Colorado will continue into the winter, and we'll get a normal, or hopefully we can keep our fingers crossed, an above normal supply of precipitation this winter.
David, some of our listeners may have read about that problem a couple of months ago with a portion of the CAP canal failing. What kind of an infrastructure problem was this? Was this a big deal?
I wouldn't call it a big deal, Bill. This was one of the areas where the canal was built on earthen fill as it went across to lower elevations early in the construction of the Central Arizona Project Canal. And so construction methodologies were changed as the Bureau went further along in its construction of the canal. That area also failed about 25 years ago. Same reason, because of some deficiencies in the type of material that was used to construct the fill. We have corrected all those during this outage. We've corrected a lot of the problems that we saw out there. We did a lot of scientific evaluation of the underground conditions below the canal and made a lot of additional repairs other than just where the failure was. So we believe that we have a well-done program to continue to evaluate it and monitor things as they go along out there that we hope will prevent any of this happening in the future.
Quickly, an update, David, on the Navajo Generating Station, which is so important to the future of the Colorado or the Central Arizona project as far as moving the water. I mean, that's what the power source comes from, generates.
Well, it is, and the news is no news at this stage. I think we have done everything we could possibly do to influence the outcome of this, both with the Environmental Protection Agency and with the President's administration. We are sitting, waiting, hopefully, to get a decision which will end the uncertainty on which we're sitting under right now. It seems like every month we get told the ruling will come out, and then it comes out that, well, maybe next month. What we're hearing right now is to anticipate the ruling in January, but the history shows us that can change. I think we're now just at a waiting mode, and we know nothing more than we've known for the past several months. All the information is in. All of the issues that we have has been well reviewed with EPA, and we're simply waiting by to see what the decision's going to be.
David Modira, I want to wish you the best of holiday seasons. Have a great one. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, I thank you very much, Bill, and I really enjoyed being on your program.
Thank you very much, David Modira. This has been our Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Arts, hiking, birding, exploring the Muggione Ghost Town, Silver City's historic downtown, Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. If you've got some time off over the holidays, it would make a great getaway. It's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Plenty of nice places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn, Pinos Altos Cabins, and Burro Mountain Homestead RV Park. Check out more at Silver City, Grant County on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, in light of the horror school was turned in Newtown, Connecticut, where an elementary school was turned into a killing field. The question becomes, how do we keep our kids safe at school? Do we turn every school in this country, all tens of thousands of them, into fortresses? Joining me now to explore those questions is our Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks. He's the Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's former head of the UA Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice and has taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy at the master's and doctoral level. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. In fact, Dr. Hendricks was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. Dr. Hendricks, Bob, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Tell me what was your reaction when you heard this news that that an elementary school, kindergartners, had been killed?
Numbing. I mean, I still can't stop thinking about it. It just it's something that you just can't possibly fathom as a parent, as an educator, as anyone who has any sense of humanity. You can't imagine something horrific like this happening.
The evolution of security in our schools, it's really changed dramatically. You were sharing with me before we went on during the break that when you were at heading up Flowing Wells, you decided to take some security measures that some of the parents really, quite honestly, didn't understand.
Well, right.
They
did. This was 22 years ago. We put a wrought iron fence. We tried to make it decorative, but we put it around the entire campus. And I can't believe the number of calls that I fielded from parents and people in the community that said, why are you trying to institutionalize our school to look more like a correctional institution than a school. And the reality in hindsight is that many other schools have followed with some kind of fencing and other security measures that are absolutely necessary in this day and age.
Well, how do we keep the kids safe? I mean, what kind of measures do you think might be prudent at this point?
Well, I listened to the most recent segment on 60 Minutes in which the school nurse of the Sandy Hook School talked about the measures that they believe that they had taken preventatively to keep our students, keep their students safe. And, they essentially did what many schools are doing today. They have procedures in place that would lock all entrances to the school. And there was only one way in which they believed outsiders could enter the school. And with that entrance, there would have to be identification. Students and visitors were required to wear name badges, and visitors were escorted to various areas in the school. And plus, they also had lockdown drills and the other kinds of things that many, many schools are using. You know, we think of the previous traditional fire drills. Well, there are also now security and safety drills that many schools are practicing, and this school did that. We can see, even within our local Tucson community, there are multiple times where enforcement officials ask schools to lock down, and they're ready to respond to that, because if there's something happening in the neighborhood that could be a potentially a violent nature, schools are completely locked down, no one is allowed in, no one was allowed out until things are cleared.
I had an email yesterday from Alex Rodriguez, the former president of the TUSD governing board. He thinks it would be prudent to have parents get involved now in some of these disaster preparedness drills, because he worries about a scenario where the parents are all rushing to the school. There's problems with the first responders being able to get to the school, and I think it sounds like a pretty good idea.
Well, there have been lots of efforts to coordinate with local agencies to approach it with a triage so that there's better communication, because oftentimes it's the lack of knowledge that causes tremendous chaos and turmoil. You're a parent, you don't have the information, you don't know exactly what's happening, and I would agree that there needs to be better mechanisms for communications with the community when these kinds of things are happening.
One school district in Texas has already decided that they will be arming teachers. I mean, that is done, I guess, in Israel routinely. Are we going to come to that, do you think? Widespread?
I hope not. I truly hope not. I hope that that is a much stronger response to the general situation. You know, I believe the schools are safe. I think that there has to be a measure of careful security in everything that we do, and obviously we all have to be alert for people in and around campuses that we don't know. Having said that, in this particular aberrant situation, apparently, the individual broke a window and was able to enter the school that way. I don't know if the school had any kind of perimeter fencing, but that might have been a preventative measure. But quite honestly, elementary schools are probably going to be the last schools to get that perimeter fencing. We've always thought about high schools mm-hmm. and middle schools first. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to see, I think, more of this kind of physical reconfiguration for elementary schools.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that is certainly coming. Dr. Hendricks, thank you very much for the work you do, and we appreciate your input to this program once a month, and I want to wish you and your family a happy holiday season.
The same to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, some of his thoughts today on school security. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan. Culligan offers the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Coming up tomorrow, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8 in the morning. Some of the featured guests include, they'll be talking about the Handy Dog program of Tucson, Tia Gloria's tips for great tamales for the season, and the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey, will be a guest on Wake Up Tucson. Then this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show. John's show is expanded now from 1 hour to 2 hours. John is on from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. We'll talk more about schools tomorrow with one of the two incoming TUSD newly elected board members. Cam Juarez will be joining us along with Dr. David Levy, our comet discoverer friend, will be joining us. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. We'll be with you tomorrow.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.